thankful to be back at Lafayette again. Thankful to see the presence of each one of you. I told them out front that I was a day late and probably more than a dollar short. But I'm glad to be here. I don't know. These preachers, both of them, act like they need to preach and pray for them. I don't know what needs to be done here tonight. And I want God's will to be done. Amen. I figured out some time ago it's not about me. And it's about Him. Amen. So I started up here tonight and I had a thought. And we got about to 52 and I told my wife that was gone. And it is. And I'll do what I can, what He give me. But if they need to preach, I want them to go ahead. I want the Lord's will to be done. Because He knows what needs to be done here tonight. But I do want to thank y'all for seeing fit to call me and my wife back up here again. To come up here and I said, me and my wife. I'm thankful that she goes with me. This is 4 weeks now. And me and her are starting to get just a little bit on the tired side. But I know when we're weak, then we can be strong. And I have no doubt the Lord will help us. I have no doubt that y'all prayed for us. And I have looked forward to coming here. And I'm looking forward to being with you. And I'm thankful that you got confidence in me to come and speak to your young folks and those that might be lost in your family and your old folks too. I count it as an honor, but I also count it out very humbly. So I'd ask you if you would just pray. I think we need to pray again, if y'all don't care. Because I don't know what I need to do. I don't want to get in their way. I know they don't want to get in my way. But most of all, I don't want to get in God's way. If He's got something to be done here, I want that to be done. Those kids, young adults now, that I've wanted to see saved for a long time. I wouldn't do anything to be a stumbling block to them. Nothing. So let's tonight, let's let God be in control. What would be wrong with that? If we just let Him be in control. I know we've got things that we do, an order of things. And I know we usually have this preacher preach this night and this preacher preach that night and this preacher. What would be wrong if we just said, God, You take control? I believe He knows how to conduct a service. He knows what needs to be done tonight. So y'all care if we pray again? And then these preachers, if they've got to leave, they can preach. And if they don't, I'll do the best I can. Because I know. Last night I showed up at Maple Grove and I was supposed to preach there last night and I did. But I'll be honest with you, I was cold as a shuck. Just dry. I didn't have nothing. And somebody mentioned for us to go to the part of the house where we got saved. If you got saved at church and prayed. And I went there and prayed and I asked God to help me, just like I did as a 14-year-old boy. And you know what happened? He gave me peace. And I got back up there and sat down, and Barry said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "This will be all right." And I had so much liberty when I got through preaching, I couldn't stand up. So I know God can direct His service. I want y'all to have a revival.
Amen. Amen.
The preacher mentioned, your good pastor mentioned a while ago, it's going to come through prayer. Elijah prayed and the fire come down from heaven. Let's pray that He would set us on fire. And we would work and labor for God and He'd be pleased with us. We'd see these lost get saved. Those unite with the church. The kingdom get built upon. Let's not just come and say words. Let's really pray. Would you do that? Would you? Would you come in here and pray with us? And ask God what He would have done here tonight. Let's come in here and let's pray.
Again, Lord, we bow before you, Father, be thankful, Lord, for being blessed. I'm thankful, God, tonight, for your still control, Father, thank you, Lord. You'll give me the Lord, and the spirit of Lord, the fruit of the lips, Lord, I'll have that. I don't even get friendly, brother, I'll say that again, Father. All I want to do is what I will. I'm not worried about me. I don't know how to do it all the time, Father. I want to start thinking about what I have. I want to hear the will be done. Lord, it doesn't say how it may be different. It may be, Lord, it might even be all tonight. It may not be any more, it may be somebody to have. I don't know, God, but I want to hear the will be done. Lord, I need you, God, tonight. Lord, just heal, lift me, and whoever you would want to stand. Let them stand and let them sleep tonight, Lord. Put the spotlight on the heart, Lord. Everybody in this church has to know God and them for last night.
I got Liberty. All right. I have a book marker in the book of Daniel, but that ain't going to help, it don't seem. So we'll move that. I moved it over a while ago. We're going to read very familiar scriptures. From the 116th division of the Psalms. Y'all pray for us. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrow of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious and righteous, yea, God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple, and I was brought low, and He helped me. Return to rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. And her thought is, I was brought low. And that's what the thought the Lord laid on my heart as we was going over at Brother Ricky and Sister Cindy's and tonight, and after we got there to 52, and my thought left me, and then that come to me. I was brought low, and I pray tonight that we'll be able to bring this out in a way that might be pleasing unto the Lord, and it might be able to help you tonight if you're here tonight lost. And I'll be honest with you. I pray it'll help us as God's people to be able to see how we need to be. We need to be a humble people. And I want you to realize if you're going to be saved by God's grace, you're going to have to be brought low. When I was a boy, they used to talk about getting off your high horse. They'd say you need to get off your high horse. Me and my wife, when we first got married, and I would take her daddy to the doctor. Her mom or her daddy, neither one could drive. And I would take them to the doctor. And once they'd go to the doctor, we'd go to the pharmacist. And all. Oh, at the pharmacist then, there's like the one used to be up here in McClard's. They had ice cream and things like that and had the bar stews. And he was in there waiting to get his medicine one day. And I went in there and hopped up on that bar stew and turned around to have a swivel. I swiveled around there and he said, "Get off your high horse. Don't come in here acting such a way." Oh, friend, if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to get off your high horse. Church, if you're going to have a revival, you're going to have to humble yourself. James said it this way. Grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I thought about that. He resists the proud. I've never been able to do nothing thinking I could. Just like I told you earlier, last night we showed up there and it was no way I could have preached. It's no way without the help of God I'll even try to preach. I'm not interested in doing this by myself. If God ain't going to show up, I'm just like Moses. If you're not going with us, then don't send me. Because I don't want to go. But I want you to know there ain't nothing I'd rather do. I've had several tell me, "Jeff, if you don't calm down the way you preach, you're going to have a heart attack and die." And I say, "Amen." I don't know of no other way that I'd rather go. There ain't nothing I love more than serving God and trying my best to warn a lost and dying world about Jesus. And you cannot do that when you think you can. I want you to realize you've got to humble yourself. James said, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." How I want you to realize that you can't just humble yourself by thinking you're something good. I have people tell me all the time, "Jeff, you shouldn't run yourself down like that." Well, how do you humble yourself? If you think so much of yourself, if you think you're a good preacher, what should I do? Go up here and tell you how good I am. He would strike me down in a heartbeat. We ain't no kill. Listen to me, lost friend. David was brought low. He saw himself for what he was. You're going to have to see yourself for what you are. And I want you to know we've got to see God for what he is. You got to put away pride. I think we talk about the things you got to give up. Give up mom and daddy. Give up brother and sister. Give up grandma. Give up pride. Call on the name of the Lord. That's what David said he did. He called on the name of the Lord. And I ain't saying you got to say words out loud. But I am saying you've got to call on him from the depths of your heart, believing he'd save your soul. David said the pains of hell got a hold upon him. He found trouble and sorrow. How the pains of hell got a hold upon you. If they hadn't and you're lost, I'm praying they do. I pray that you find trouble and sorrow. I pray that you find yourself getting low. I pray you find yourself being humble. That you just fall down upon your face. Our Lord and Savior humbled Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. Said He just fell down. If He could become humble, being God in the flesh, why can't we? Used to, you'd have an altar prayer, and just about everybody, if they was able to walk, they'd come. Used to, people prayed. Your pastor sitting up here earlier, y'all singing, he's sitting over praying. There ain't nothing wrong with singing, but people, we need to pray. We need to ask God. We need to humble ourselves. I always think about when it comes to praying and being humble. I think about Brother J.C. Cox. He talked about his dad. He said in the morning, he would go out in the morning time and he could hear his daddy out the barn praying. You know what his daddy was praying for? You say him? Well, probably. But he prayed for mules. He's praying God would give them old mules strength to be able to work that day. He knew if them both mules weren't able to work, his kids was going to get hungry. So he humbled himself, he become low, and he asked God to strengthen the mules. Not that he had confidence in the mules, people, but he had confidence in God that he could give them mule strength to pull a plow, that he'd be able to feed his kids. When is the last time you woke your children up? They found low. They found humble. Calling on God. When's the last time that you went outside early in the morning? The Jews, they prayed three times a day. Daniel prayed three times a day. And I believe they prayed at 9 o'clock in the morning when our Lord was put on the cross. I believe they prayed at midday when it come dark. And our prayer, according to Peter, was 3 o'clock when our Lord ended up giving up the ghost. We ought to look good, really good, to humble ourselves and show up on Sunday morning and pray. And then we tell the lost, humble yourself in the sight of God, and He will hear you. If we're not willing to do it ourselves, how can we expect Him to do it? I thought of this verse. Peter said in the 1 Peter 5th chapter 6 and 7. Listen to what he says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, that He'll lift you up. Listen to what it says now. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You might have been thinking a while ago, it was silly for Him to pray for a mule. I want you to know tonight, God, if He has to, He can make a mule talk. If we're too sorry to get up here and preach, if we're too sorry to testify, He can bring a mule in here and make it talk. He's done it before. So don't think He can't make one pull a plow. And I want you to know, He can make us pull a plow. You should pray for the Word, but listen, cast your cares on Him.
people go to therapists. We don't get help everywhere. We Google everybody. Anybody comes up soon and somebody gets sick, what's the first thing to do, Brother Randy? They ask Google. When did Google become knowing more than God? Test your cares about Him. Why? Because He cares about you. He loves you, LaFayette Church. He loves you, lost person. And He wants you to cast all your cares on Him. And when you humble yourself and do that, you know what He'll do? He'll lift you up.
Amen.
You only said hi, the Lord is. He spake a parable, certain which trusted in themselves. That's us today. We trust in ourselves. We trust that our government's going to keep going good. Our economy's going to keep doing good. We trust that our job, we're going to be able to keep it. We're going to get a good paycheck. And we get to thinking how much we can do. That they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed within himself, God, I thank Thee. Now I want you to listen. If you think this person is humbling himself. If you think, listen. He prayed within himself and said, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, just, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in a week and I give tithes of all my I possess. Did that sound like somebody was being very humble? We ain't careful, it sounds like a lot of us. Then the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than another. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. If you want to get lifted up, you're going to have to become humble. David said that he was in a miry clay in the 40th chapter of Psalms when he told his testimony there. He was in a horrible pit of miry clay. That's probably about as low as you could get. I'll misquote it. I marked it a while ago. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He brought me up out of a miry pit. If you want to get lifted up, we're going to have to get low. I preached a sermon here a few years ago. I told y'all about how I went over to Darrell Betters. He called me. He's my neighbor, and we went to church together at Rocky Mount. I had an old backhoe. He called me and he said, Jeff, I want you to come over here. He built him a new house. And there's a pond there behind the house, and he wanted it gone. It wasn't nothing but a mosquito trap, you know. Mosquitoes eat them alive. So I get down there, and he'd done tried to drain it some, and it was a little mud in it, but I didn't think it was that bad. And you could get on the other side of it to dig the dam out. So I drove right off in the pond down there and got down there and got my stabilizers and everything set up. And I began to dig out that dam where when it rained, it wouldn't hold water anymore and also fill it up. And I thought I was doing a pretty good job. And I began to look around me. I looked, it was a cow, had windows, and I looked, and the dirt was up just about to my windows. I'd sit right there and dug, not paying no attention, and I'd bury it up. Then myself, I thought there was a better backhoe operator in the country. So I done everything I could. I found tree roots. I done everything I could. I'd grab at everything and I'd pull and I snugged. And I finally got to the point I seen I was going to have to do away with my pride. I reached down the bill for my old well overhaul and I got my cell phone out. I called my brother-in-law. What are you doing? He talked for 10 minutes and me just sitting there just grieving so bad. I'm stuck over here. You here come help me? He come right on over and took a tractor, four-wheel drive tractor, and a front bucket just dug right out, pulled me right out of there. That was so hard for me to do. I thought I was good. I didn't think there's no way I'd ever have to ask nobody for help. Oh, friend, you're going to have faith. You can't get out of this pit by yourself.
Right.
And you're going to have to put away that old foolish pride and just let go and ask Him to help you. Completely surrender, and He will. I believe that in all my heart. We talked to you about the old Pharisee and the publican. That's hard to say, Republican. We don't want to get in that. That Pharisee was full of himself, wasn't he? He stood and told what he'd done. He was an awful good fella in his own eyes. And I guess he thought he was. And he probably, in his own eyes, he might have been in a lot of people's eyes. A lot of times, there's some of you I love dearly. I think are really good. Now, I may have even built you up to where places I shouldn't. But you, how I see you is different than how God sees you. It's different than how mom and daddy sees you. It's different than how grandpa or grandma sees you. You got to see yourself for what you are. There was a man named Apostle Paul. He was called First Saul. He was one of those Pharisees. His father was a Pharisee, and he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was taught by Gamaliel. I guess he thought he was a pretty good fellow. He was doing all he could to serve God. And tearing the cause down all the time. There was a man named Stephen. Us preachers argue whether he was a deacon or a preacher. You can think about it however you want to. I tell you one thing. If he was a deacon, we need more deacons that's more studied like he was.
Amen.
And if he was a preacher, he was one to go further than most of us would be willing to.
Amen.
But that man named Stephen stood and told them about Jesus. He called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised. You resist the Holy Spirit just like your fathers did. And he told them how that what they'd done to his Lord. And those people just got mad and threw him out of the city and just began to stone him. And they stoned him, and you know what that man done? He stood there. He looked up and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand. He'd been taught by Christ and his disciples that we're to love our enemies. And he humbled himself just like our Lord did. He didn't fight back. And he prayed for his enemies just like the Lord told him. He humbled himself to death and said, lay out this sin at their charge. And there was a young man named Saul standing there. And he heard all that, and I believe what he preached or spoke on, however you want to look at it, I believe had a great effect on him. But you know what? I believe his actions had a great effect on him too. He was humble. He took the example of our Lord and Savior. He went low. You hear him say all the time, take the low road. That's what we need to take, the low road. He humbled himself. This man called Saul was on his road then to Damascus. He was going to get more of the Christian faith, and he was going to arrest them, and he got letters to go get them. And something happened to him on the way. I want you to keep in mind, this man was your pastor. I could have heard him quoting scriptures and everything. He's smart. And I mean it at a good way. He's well read. Apostle Paul was well read. It was going to be hard for him to humble himself. A lot of people, no doubt, looked up to him. Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest, and he desired of him letters to Damascus. And the saying to God that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Listen what it says. And he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? He recognized him as Lord. And that's what you're going to have to recognize him as, Lord. You're going to have to recognize him yourself as what you are, a sinner. And you're going to have to recognize him as Lord. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecute. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I believe this has been bothering him. They were kicking against the pricks. They would hook those old oxen up together, and they'd take a stick, and they'd whoop them oxen with it to get them to do what they needed them to do, to pull. And them oxen would kick against it. They was fighting it. How long have you been fighting it? That's what he was telling him. Why are you fighting me? Why don't you humble yourself? Why don't you get low? And listen. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And I believe right then he surrendered to the Lord, because he knew it wasn't nothing he could do. He needed God. And the Lord said unto him, listen what it says. Arise. Arise. You want to be lifted up? You get humble. Amen. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do.
And I'll throw this one in here. I thought of it sitting over here earlier. I've heard different ones argue he was saved in Damascus. And if he was, then God called him to preach as a lost person. Because he told King Agrippa, that was Luke telling his testimony. And Paul told it a little different than what Luke told it for. Paul, Jesus said unto him there, he said, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both to these things which thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee. David was brought low. Then he said, return to rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. He was put in a miry pit. He was stood on a rock. The apostle Saul at the time was brought low. He fell down. He told him to rise. If you want to be saved by God's grace, you're going to have to humble yourself. I think there's probably more people than hell over pride than any other thing. I love my mom and dad, and they was one of the first things I give up. And that might have been what you was holding on to, I ain't saying. The biggest thing was keeping me from getting saved with a ski and a bag of peanuts. It probably would have cost a quarter back then. Might have even been that high. But I'd go to the altar and I'd sit on the altar and all I thought about was getting up and leaving and going to the store and getting a ski and a bag of peanuts. I could have went to hell over a ski and a bag of peanuts. Ain't that the stupidest thing you've ever heard of? In eternity, the devil's hell. What are you putting between you and God? Brother Marty Matter and Sister Clarissa sang a song about when I lay my eyes down. I believe Brad, he told me today, he mentioned that last night. He didn't want Isaac, he wanted Abraham. He don't want your mom and dad. He don't want your toys. He wants you. And to do that, you've got to humble yourself. Just completely submit that you're not worth nothing and He's worth it all. I love these old altars, and don't nobody take us the wrong way. Don't you leave here and say, I don't like an altar. I love them. They've never saved nobody. But I want you to know they get in the way of a lot of people. People are scared. They're sitting back there thinking, it looks like a giant to them. They're scared to death to come. This altar won't save you. But if you're afraid to come to it, and you let that get between you and God, then this stick of wood and cloth is just like that ski and peanuts. It won't save nobody. The Bible teaches repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. That's all required to be saved. You don't have to come to this altar. You don't have to do nothing but repent and put your trust in the Lord. But don't be afraid to do whatever. Let it go. My oldest only granddaughter, she's 8 years old. I'm fixing to shut up. A few years ago, they come out with a movie. I never saw it. I don't know what it was. Don't watch movies. And she'd come running through the house from time to time, and she'd say, let it go. Let it go. And she just sang that over and over, and I didn't know what it was.
But I finally said, Sheila, what is she talking about? She said, she's talking about a movie. Let it go. Just let it go. Let your pride go. Let whatever's troubling you go. Humble yourself. You want to have a revival? Brother Randy always aggravates me about asking if I've got a revival in my pocket. This is the fourth revival I've been in, and I ain't had one yet. And I ain't got one here. We got a song leader over there, Brother Larry Walden. One of her pianos over here. He was standing there singing. We come in one morning. He began to sing, helped four or five singing maybe. And they was half-hearted. They just said, stop. He said, you're going to get out of this service what you put in. I'll never forget that. You're going to get out of this revival with what you put in. So let's humble ourselves. Let's be an example to these that are lost. That they can see where we can be like Stephen. If we can be like our Lord. Let's be humble. Let's do everything we can to serve the Lord. And lost friend, if you want to be saved by God's grace, humble yourself. Be willing to call on the Lord. That's what you got to do. You know what sacrifice he's looking for? A broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's all he's looking for from you. And if you'll come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the Apostle Paul said in the Romans chapter 10, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe that in all my heart, if you'll do it with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, repenting and believing in Jesus Christ, he'll save your soul. So what's kept you from getting saved? What's keeping our churches from having a revival? Why ain't revival broke out in this country? I'm afraid we're just not being humble. We're not humbling ourselves. We need to be like JC's dad was. We're going to have to realize if it's going to be a revival this week and our children are going to be saved. He was worried about his children either. If our children are going to be saved and our grandchildren are going to be saved, we're going to have to ask God to help us. Now, I believe with all my heart he'll give us a revival. I believe that we could have a revival. I remember one year, I think it was the first year that I helped y'all. I was as green as all green I could be. We come up here and I come on Sunday morning that year. We got here and y'all broke out in a meeting on Sunday school. If I remember right, I think Sister June wanted Brother Ricky to preach that morning in Sunday school, if I remember right. And I come up, I'm running late. I walk in over the old building, and there's people everywhere praying. And if I remember right, there was 10 souls that saved that morning. And I just walked in there and watched it. And I just stood up here and I was wanting to do something so bad because I wanted to get involved because everybody, you know, it was going on. And God just said, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. And I watched y'all work. I watched y'all pray. And I watched those people get up and say, the Lord has saved us all. And I was just like astonished. I couldn't believe what my eyes were seeing. I believe in all my heart you can have that.
Amen. Amen.
But that morning, there wasn't hardly a dry eye in the house, if you'll remember. Everybody, not just lost people, was praying.
I believe we can. We'll humble ourselves. Side of God. Cast our cares upon Him. Because He cares about you. That's been scattered. That ain't what we always say we dance with the girl we brought. That ain't the one I asked out today. But you know something? She looked pretty to me when I stood up here a while ago and I didn't have much. That's what He gave me. That's what I'll give you. And that's all I know today. And I thank God that He gave me some. Thank God He'll still use some of my faith. What hurt you run yourself down this same world tomorrow? Brother Brian was aggravating me over Brother Ricky's long ago, and he's talking about how he's going to know tonight. He's telling me about what a good job he's going to do. And boy, I thought, oh man. I ain't ever done a good job. Come on my lips from behind this sacred door that done any good. It come from God. And if we're going to do any good, it's going to come from God. I can't shut up. I want you out of me. I'm begging you, please. Have a revival. I want to save one. I want to see one. I've labored for a month. I want to see a meeting. I'm begging, do you want it? Do you want it? Please. Something you want to be saved. Humble yourself in the sight of God. See yourself for what you are in the sight of God. I'll humble myself with you. I'll beg you to save you and the rest of them here tonight. We are made with it. Will you humble yourself tonight? Are you willing to get off your high horse? Fall on faith.